radical left has taken over the Democratic Party.
Hello and welcome to Think Progressively, covering politics and all the other chaos life has to offer. This is episode 27, recorded on Friday, February 26th, from Milwaukee. I'm Joe.
And I'm Jason.
And on today's episode, we discussed why Andrew Cuomo sucks. But first, the headlines. Seriously, screw Andrew Cuomo.
The fact is that everything he's saying so far is simply a lie. I'm not here to call out his lies. Everybody knows he's a liar.
First up in headlines, a Jason, story after my own heart.
Jason brought us a gift. I'm really happy.
So there is a local brewery, not that local, I guess, to us, up in Minocqua.
It's Wisconsin. Everything's local.
Minocqua Brewing Company, which has launched a line of progressive beers. I believe it started late last year.
Yep.
They have three beers currently. The Biden beer, which I've seen both as a Kolsch and a Pilsner, so I'm not sure why there's both, but one's an ale, one's a lager, so they're not even like the same species of beer, but they are similar in that they're very plain and light. Perfect for Joe Biden. There is a Kamala beer, which is a stout. There is the Fair Maps beer, which is a anti-gerrymandering group that is getting some of the proceeds for that one, which is an IPA. And coming soon, in March 8th, I believe, at least here in Milwaukee, there is a Bernie beer, which will be a milk stout made with maple syrup from Vermont and Wisconsin.
Why'd they have to make Bernie the milky one?
It's appropriate.
Why they gotta do him like that?
I'm glad it wasn't a hazy IPA, because I feel like that could work with his hair, and IPA is not my favorite style, so I much prefer a stout, especially during winter. So I am a bit of a beer nerd, occasional home brewer, so this is perfect for me. And the reason we're talking about them now is they had just launched distribution deals here in Milwaukee, and the beer was available starting Monday, and one of the locations that you can purchase them from was my local liquor store, Consumer Beverages in Hales Corners. And when I went there on Tuesday, one day after when I first found out about it, they were already sold out. Luckily, they were able to locate one can of Biden beer for me, which we are now sharing.
Nice. And they've been having a lot of trouble with this, right? Like trying to get their beer out to different stores.
Particularly in Minocqua and that area.
Well, we should clarify, they are like in rural Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's up north, and you know, the politics up there are generally very conservative.
There was, I do remember a story they had, I think about a week or two ago, where they actually signed a deal with a local, either like a local grocery store or a supermarket or something, and the
distributor, I think, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the alcohol buyer for that distributor basically said, yeah, we'll take you. And the brewing company had to tell them, just as a heads up, these are progressive political beers. Like, we live in the reddest part of the state. So are you okay with that? And the guy's like, yeah, sure. Sounds good. Literally like less than a week later, the distributor calls them back saying, yeah, my boss told me I had to stop buying your beer already.
And they were taken in, at least for that northern area, by a local market on a reservation.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Cool.
At the Lac de Flambeau Country Market. They have the deal. So it's actually, and I've been to the Minocqua Brewery before. It was a brew pub, and they're currently closed due to COVID. They've actually leased their building out to a pizzeria.
Oh, okay.
And that's why they are having problems distributing up there. So if you're up in northern Wisconsin, you're going to have to go to the Lac de Flambeau Country Market. But here in southeastern Wisconsin, you have some choices. I know they're at Discount Liquor.
Yep.
You can check their website for where exactly they're going to be.
Obviously, hopefully, they're more popular in the Milwaukee area.
It seems that they are very popular in Milwaukee. I'm sure Madison, they'll be very popular there as well. I was kind of surprised Hales Corners I wouldn't peg as a very progressive area, but I'll have to get there early on the 8th to get the Bernie beer.
So should we try this?
Sure.
All right.
Let's give it a shot.
Cheers.
About what you'd expect from a Kolsch or a Pilsner, really, but get a little bit more of the yeast flavor.
I can taste the Biden.
You get a little bit more of the yeast flavor with a Kolsch than you would with a Pilsner.
I'm going to be honest, a light craft beer could not explain what Biden is more to me.
Yeah.
That's so accurate.
Yeah, it is an appropriate
beer. It is a very appropriate beer for a Biden beer.
Yeah, it's like not it. It's nearly good. As flavorless as like a Miller or a Bud. But again, not what I generally go for, which is like the Belgian or right. German style. It is a German style.
It is a lot less milquetoast than I expected it.
Mm-hmm. It does have some flavor, unlike you would expect Biden's
from Joe Biden.
Yeah.
Well, good. Good job, Minocqua Brewing Company.
Thank we you, Consumer Beverage.
This podcast officially approves of Minocqua Brewing Company. Go give them a like. If you know how to spell Minocqua, good for you. If you don't, good luck. I'm going to give you a challenge to look it up on the internet and see if you can spell it correctly.
And they do also have a super PAC that they're using to fund progressive candidates.
They're just awesome. Go fund them and support them. They're great. All right. Now that we're all loosened up, let's get to the real stuff.
Now that I'm disappointed and we're not going to talk about beer anymore.
All right.
Are you sure you don't want to? I could go on and on about the differences between Kolsch and Pilsner. And
I don't even know what a Kolsch is.
And I don't know, technically, see, again, real super beer nerd time. It's like champagne where you can't call, like, I don't know if they can actually call it Kolsch, because I thought that was
Miller Genuine Draft, the
champagne of beers. I'm saying it's like champagne in that champagne, you know, has to come from the Champagne region of France.
Oh, okay.
Kolsches technically are supposed to only come from Cologne, Germany. So I'm assuming it's not a EU violation for them to put that on their can. I won't tell anybody. But okay, so now we're finally going to start. All right, let's do this. Beer.
So we have some really good news here with the Manhattan DA now obtaining the tax returns of Donald Trump. I'm super pumped.
This doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be public record.
Nope, it doesn't.
Hopefully it does get leaked like they did before.
So let's back up a little bit about this case. Recently, I think as of last week, the Supreme Court cleared the way for prosecutors in New York City to receive 8 years of former tax returns of former President Donald Trump and other financial records, as well as part of an ongoing investigation into possible tax, insurance, and bank fraud in Trump's business empire.
This is coming from Michael Cohen's testimony, in which he was imprisoned for being the bag man for Trump. I don't see how that works. How you're just the middleman for somebody else. And you go to prison, but nothing happens to them. That's American justice for you right there.
It's a little mafia-esque, if you ask me, but it is the patriotic way. According to the article, the High Court's decision to turn down Trump's request for a stay of a grand jury subpoena advances a criminal probe by Manhattan District Attorney Cy Vance Jr. The District Attorney's Office obtained the documents from Trump's accounting firm, Mazars USA, which it had subpoenaed in 2019 as part of a grand jury investigation. And now he has them. It's great.
Hopefully this will lead to some criminal prosecution and some jail time.
How did Trump feel about this, Jason? I'm sure he took it great.
You know him. He's always very gracious and humble and very connected to reality.
Like a true conservative.
You know, very law and order. And it was very much like, well, we'll see how the justice system plays out. It's, you know, the greatest system in the world. Oh, wait, no, that's not. That's not what he said. It says here, quote, "This is something which is," and I'm not doing the voice now that he's not president anymore.
He's not worthy of
the voice. I don't care enough to try. "This is something which has never happened to a president before. It is all Democrat inspired in a totally Democrat location, New York City and state, completely controlled and dominated by a heavily reported enemy of mine, Governor Andrew Cuomo," which will be the last good thing we say about Andrew Cuomo this episode.
And then you can continued on to say that this was the greatest political witch hunt in the history of our country. Again.
I like this has never happened to a president before. Yeah, because you're the most corrupt president in United States history.
Well, and on top, how many greatest political witch hunts can we have in one presidency?
The Russia probe, the Mueller investigation, the both impeachments, a lot of greatest witch hunts.
But they're all the greatest witch hunts.
Mm. We've also found a whole bunch of witches. More witches found than in any other
And that's the other thing. Like, we found real witches, supposedly, with this analogy.
Mm-hmm.
For goodness sakes. Ah.
Just having sex with Satan all over the place.
So we'll keep an eye on this, but this is great news. Let's celebrate. And even if we don't get Trump's tax returns ourselves, know that at least they're in someone much more competent than Trump.
And the Supreme Court is the one that ruled on it. So.
Well, and that's the other funny thing about this, too, right? Where it's a whole, like, this is all Democrat controlled and inspired. This is the Supreme Court. Are you kidding me right now?
None of the three justices he appointed to the Supreme Court objected to this.
They're in on the conspiracy.
They were part of the Democrat system the whole time. Trump just fell for it.
And for some legislation updates, the House passed a sweeping LGBTQ rights bill, which is, again, absolutely fantastic.
Second time the House has passed this bill, actually.
Correct. The first time was in 2019, I believe.
It was not taken up by the Senate. This time, hopefully it is. It's got to get past that fun filibuster thing that we talked about on a previous episode.
And just to clarify what it is, this act amends the Federal Rights Act of 1964 to include protections against discrimination based on sexual orientation and identity. So basically, this is protecting, well, duh, LGBTQ people.
Yeah, it just adds them to the list of already protected classes.
The bill was passed on a majority party line vote of 224 to 206, shocking nobody because Republicans absolutely suck.
And one of the Republicans who is the worst at the moment, Marjorie Taylor Greene, attempted to block the vote by calling for an adjournment to the session. In response to that,
so let's talk about Marjorie Taylor Greene right now. Let's do that. I'm ready. Let's go.
So in response to that attempt to block this bill from being voted on, Marie Newman from Illinois, who has an office across the hall from Green, put up a trans rights flag, and her daughter...
I said, yeah, because she has a trans daughter.
Correct. In response to that, because she is a garbage person, Marjorie Taylor Greene put up a sign saying, there are only two genders, trust the science. Which, trust the science coming from conspiracy lunatic Marjorie Taylor Greene is the height of both irony and hypocrisy.
And the whole idea of saying that there are only two genders, you skipped a large part of that too, where they say male and female. And usually in most biological sciences, they don't qualify those as genders. They qualify those as sexes, separate from gender. So the fact that she proudly posted this sign, getting the science wrong, and then say trust the science is peak conservatism, in my opinion.
And she also did it while not wearing a mask in a public space.
And did you see the video where she put it up to her? She put it up and she like did this little smirk and did, like, that little like wiping her hands, like,
that was,
I did a good job.
That was in response to Marie Newman's video, the similar parodying.
She's such a garbage person.
And the fact that you can put up a sign like that in the halls of Congress, where if, you know, justly so, if any of us were to put up a sign like that in our workplace,
oh, you'd be fired.
Specifically, like, right in front of the office of someone who has...
I say, to harass someone else.
Right, like, literally to harass someone with a trans child. One, you're getting into a fight. I mean, I don't care. Like, someone's punching you, whether it's that person or somebody else. Physical violence is going to happen. And then, two, yes, you'd be fired afterwards. Again, justifiably so. That is harassment. It's hate speech. But she's allowed to do this in Congress. I don't understand it. And I mean, she's got the time to go to Kinko's and get the sign printed out because she's not a member of any committees.
Well, that's the craziest thing too, is that she had to ask someone or do it herself to literally go out and get this sign made. That's the crazy part. Like, the idea of actually having to go out of your way just to be a douchebag to someone else. Screw off.
Yeah, hopefully her time in the House is very short. I don't, even another conservative, fine. You can do better, Georgia. Find someone, anyone else. You have the worst person in
Congress.
The legislature. Yes, definitely. I mean, the only competition she would have had is Steve King. So, I mean, Iowa, somebody took the crown from you.
Let's get back to the equal rights bill. So, Jason, did you hear about the really well-versed arguments against the bill that a lot of honest conservatives have?
I did not see any of the debate.
All right. Well, what do you think would be the overall objections to this bill from Republicans?
Well, I do know what the objections were from Marjorie Taylor Greene, was that it discriminates against women and puts them at risk, and probably something about women's sports would be my guesses.
Bingo! The main arguments were literally, it violates free speech, and we're going to destroy women's sports by giving LGBTQ people equal rights to not be discriminated against.
This is a long conversation I had with my wife last night, where we were both discussing how ridiculous it is when people who are, you know, use women's sports as a shield to be transphobic. And it's, again, it's just unscientific. If you look at the actual science,
which we should do for like a main episode.
Yeah, we'll have to. It's way too much to get into here. But if you're on hormone therapy and you are transitioning from male to female, any quote unquote advantage physically that you have is going to go away. That is what the science says.
I say, that's literally what the data shows.
And they have testing, and you have to hit specific benchmarks before you're allowed to compete. And that's the way it should remain. Like, there's no problem. That's what happens. And what happens is these people cherry pick one or two trans athletes that are exceptional athletes and have some sort of accomplishment and use that as, well, see, they're going to destroy women's sports. They're going to break all the records. But then you look at even those examples that they give and you see, oh, well, sure, they won one event or one race or something like that, but they lose 90% of the time. And there's also all of these other trans athletes that don't have that same accomplishment. How come? I thought they're just going to dominate the sport and set every record, and no quote unquote biological female will ever win anything again, when the actual evidence does not
support that. Well, let's put it this way. The Olympics have been accepting trans athletes for a long time before this even started becoming a big controversy. And shocker, trans athletes have not dominated the women's Olympics. Whoa.
And also, there's a lot of misogyny that goes into that too, of being like, well, any man who transitions to a woman is just automatically going to die. Like, trust me, if I were to transition to a woman, Joe, I would still be terrible at all of the sports. That wouldn't change.
I'm not entering any like women's division in UFC. I can tell you that right now. And some other good news for the legislation, they also just recently passed a historic public lands bill pledging to protect nearly 3 million acres across the United States.
It is good to see. Trump was very anti-national resources, pro letting corporations just destroy all of our protected parks and
well, land. And that's where a lot of this comes from, right? Where a lot of this protects the lands from different types of mining and uranium mining that would have just completely devastated the wildlife of these areas. And we're kind of talking about Arizona, Washington, Colorado, and California are the main focuses of this bill. And this is great. I'm super happy.
You only get one chance to protect the environment, right? So it's good that we are doing something when the previous administration was so lax on protecting any of it.
Right. And obviously this still has to go to the Senate as well, but I mean, it's going to face a lot of challenge in the Senate, but even though that we have this, well, slight majority because of our amazing work in the 2020 elections, we can win and we can protect our lands. All good stuff today. We're super happy.
And not happy anymore.
Oh, okay.
The Senate parliamentarian, which I had never even heard that term before now, has ruled against including the increase in the minimum wage in the COVID relief bill. Now, this could be technically overruled by the vice president, who is supposed to be the president of the Senate, but due to some sort of commitment to the sanctity of the process,
they're probably not going to do anything.
Yeah, the unfortunately, unsurprisingly, uninspiring Biden administration will likely not do that.
And the weird part about this is they actually just passed this in the House with the $15 minimum wage a part of it. So what's going to have to happen is it will now have to go to the Senate. The Senate will then have to strip the minimum wage part out of the bill and then go back to the House, and they'll have to re-vote on it again. Gotta love our process.
Or they could find some courage.
No.
Overrule
no,
this.
No.
And then have a vote on it. And if you want to vote against it and be on record for voting against a highly popular $15 minimum wage, Joe Manchin,
Kyrsten Sinema,
then so be it. But they won't do that, which is unfortunate, especially since this was one of Biden's campaign promises and he needs to fulfill it. This is really the main topic. This and the $2,000 checks, which we're waiting on that still, were the main issues that got the Democrats their tie-breaking majority in the Senate in the first place from those races in Georgia, and they need to make good on it.
Well, and they were relying on this exact process to make that happen. So if they can't get it through this process, what do they have to do?
And all this is going to do is lead to the same situation that got us Trump in the first place, when you had all this excitement over Obama and nothing really changed. And we can't have that happen again, because all it's going to take is another Republican populist, if it's
to say that I'm going to work for you.
Trump's direct surrogates or whoever to just say, I'm going to be the people's candidate. I'm going to get you all this stuff. Democrats keep promising you everything and they never deliver because they'll be right.
Well, and this goes back to the idea that we need to abolish the freaking filibuster.
Stop playing this stupid game of, well, we need to respect the process. We're the party of rules. And no, you're the party of not getting anything done.
Thank you. Keep doing this.
Play dirty. Do what you need to do. Who cares? If what you do is in the best interest of the American people, it's going to be popular. You're going to be fine. When you do things for the best interest of the process, the tradition, who cares? That's not helping anyone. Well,
and the people and the voters don't. That's the thing.
That's not why
this strategy doesn't win them elections.
No.
Get stuff done, get rid of the filibuster, and stop playing with this budget reconciliation nonsense, and then pass $15 minimum wage.
Yeah, stop punching yourself in the groin.
Oh my God, Joe Manchin.
So hopefully this still gets passed. It has to. If $15 minimum wage does not get passed in Joe Biden's presidency, his presidency is a failure.
Did you see how, I think it was Tom Cotton and some other Republican proposed an $11 minimum wage?
Yeah, $15 or bust. Don't let them play these games with getting talking down. No, that's not what the American people want. I saw a statistic that was like, when the minimum wage was first put in, if you just account for inflation and nothing else, it would be over like $13 now. And in this time during the pandemic and the fact that the richest people have made trillions during this pandemic, everybody can afford, all the businesses, they can afford a $15 minimum wage. If they can't, then they can't afford employees. That's just the way it is. No one can live on $8 an hour. That's a ridiculously low wage. And no one should be subjected to it. All that does is push the burden onto the average taxpayer from those corporations. Because those people making $8 an hour have to necessarily file for welfare and food stamps and all of the government benefits. So all we end up doing is subsidizing Walmart while they make billions of dollars. And Amazon. That's ridiculous. Those companies should have to pay their workers. All companies should have to pay all of their workers living wages. It's that simple. And that's what the Democratic Party needs to understand. That's what they need to get behind. That's what made Bernie popular.
Yes. Well, that's what makes AOC popular right now, too.
So get it done or get out, because that's what voters are going to tell you.
All right. Next up, a U.S. intelligence report claims that the Saudi Crown Prince approved the operation to kill Jamal Khashoggi.
To no one's surprise.
To absolutely no one's surprise at all. For those who don't remember, Jamal Khashoggi was a Washington Post columnist who frequently wrote on Saudi politics and spoke out against the Saudi government. And he was killed and dismembered by a supposed group of radical ne'er-do-wells, I guess.
Just big fans of the Saudi government.
In 2018.
In a Turkish embassy?
It was on a visit to the Saudi consulate in Istanbul.
Yeah,
it's in Turkey. Yes. So while this is a complete surprise to absolutely nobody, the Saudi embassy did tweet out today saying that the government in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia completely rejects the assessment in the report submitted to the U.S. Congress regarding a murder on Saudi citizen of Jamal Khashoggi. And basically saying, we didn't do it.
He slipped and fell on all those knives and saws. Yeah,
and then just dismembered himself.
It happens sometimes. You know, floor gets wet because they're mopping and you don't see the sign and whoop, you fell into a bunch of pieces.
They continued on to say that the report contained completely negative, false, and unacceptable findings, and that the report contained inaccurate information and conclusions. Shut up. Shut up. Get out of here with that nonsense. So this doesn't really do much of anything. I mean, this does probably make the relationship between the United States and Saudi Arabia a little bit more tense. I know Joe Biden has spoken out against this personally already, so that's good.
Yeah, well, you know, you kill one of our citizens.
He did more than Trump did. He praised Mohammed bin Salman when he said that he didn't do it.
It's because Trump wishes he could do that.
He's a really nice guy. He wouldn't do anything like that. I don't know, man.
We have a big milestone for the Biden administration, Joe.
All right, I'm ready.
They carried out their first bombing.
That is a big milestone.
They attacked
our baby Biden is growing up, being a real president.
They attacked a base in Syria, targeting Iranian-backed militias as a retribution for attacks on an American contractor in a U.S. base. Not a big fan. I've heard it defended by saying, well, this is the Biden administration showing they're not going to sit back while American contractors or military personnel are attacked because of the reaction to Trump's ignoring Russia putting bounties on American soldiers. So this is them showing a show of force. I'd like to get to the point where lives are not lost to prove a point, and that we don't have anyone needlessly dying in the Middle East, especially where we're not welcome. That's just me, I guess.
Well, and the big issue that a lot of people had as well was the lack of notice they gave to other nations. I know he did reach out to Netanyahu about this, but it was with like a little like time frame right before it happened. He's like, hey, by the way, I'm going to drop a bomb in Syria in about 3, 2, 1. All right, it happened. Goodbye.
Yeah, never a huge fan of military action to begin with. I mean,
we'll see what happens.
I don't see the point to it. We've been at war in the Middle East since 2001.
Yes.
It's been 20 years. Is it ever going to end?
No.
Doesn't appear so. And I just don't see what anyone is getting out of it at this point. We're back in NATO. You know, we're supposed to be part of the world community again at this point. Let's let them handle these types of operations and stop being the world police.
One can only wish, my friend. One can only wish.
But as we said, Biden is just doing the Obama cover band routine. And
well, let's make this very clear too. Trump did the same crap. You know, so like for all the people who were saying that, you know, oh, back to, you know, politics as usual, Biden's just as bad as Trump. Like, no, hold on. Trump did way worse actions, all right, without any prompting whatsoever, and he had to get talked down consistently. This is an unfortunate, like you said, an Obama playbook attack. While I do not like this whatsoever, like, this is not the same as, like, what Trump did. I want to make that very clear, too, for any, like, if you have, like, any, like, conservative aunts and uncles who are trying to say that Biden's just another war hawk and Trump was so much better.
Trump very nearly got us into a war with Iran. Had they not accidentally shot down a commercial jet, that
it could have been so much worse.
It would have been a lot worse. They were literally posturing to have a war with the U.S., and they freaked out and accidentally shot down a commercial airliner. Killing more needless
people.
Needless death.
Well, nope. The people are not needless. I'm sorry. Innocent people.
Right. Needless death.
Yes.
And that basically made them back off of that posture because they had to apologize to, it was not even, you know, correct, U.S. civilians on that plane. They're Canadian. That essentially averted an escalation that was looking to happen at that time. So if not for that, we could have very well now been in a war with Iran. So yes, Trump is not the peacenik.
Well, let's still call a spade a spade and let's voice our disagreements with this.
Yeah, not happening.
Biden accountable.
We don't need to show off the newest bombers and ordnance from the defense contractors. We can just back off of that for a while, I would hope.
And finally, the Conservative Political Action Conference, known as CPAC, is currently underway with the amazing slogan, America Uncanceled.
Free speech for everyone.
Free speech for everyone, except the people that they immediately canceled for anti-Semitic posts.
Rightfully so. Young Pharaoh. Who would have thought that would have ended poorly?
And there's no irony lost on this. And we'll talk about like how there's no irony lost in like in any of these people at all. But there's like no awareness at all. Not from the organizers, not from the politicians, not from the idiots who are going to this thing.
And Young Pharaoh also immediately called out CPAC organizer Matt Schlapp for also posting anti-Semitic things in the past. And why is he still organizing the event if they are gonna cancel Young Pharaoh for being anti-Semitic? Well, what about Matt Schlapp?
Which is so garbage.
Correct. Because Matt Schlapp is money and connections, and Young Pharaoh does not.
So Trump is set to headline the event. Again, shocking absolutely no one, but firmly stating that the Conservative and Republican Party is officially the Trump Party.
Stated by Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yeah, and they literally brought a golden Trump statue to CPAC.
Wearing apparently American flag boxer shorts.
And sandals.
I think it's supposed to be shorts, but he also has a suit coat on.
I don't know, man.
I swear I thought it was satire. I thought somebody was messing with them when I saw it. It was like, oh, well, somebody's, this is like you know, Borat's going to jump out of this thing at some point, right? Because it even looks stupid, and he's leaning forward like Trump always stands at that weird forward angle. But everyone in the hallways, they're wheeling past, and the video is like, oh, great. Oh, yeah, Trump, Trump, Trump. And I'm just like, no, they're making fun of you, aren't they? Like, this is all going to be a joke. There's candid camera, something. Apparently, this is legit.
Well, yeah. This is legit. I mean, for God's sakes, the reason why the guy made this statue is because he was sick of all the pieces of art that mocked Trump. And he made this saying that he wanted to put Trump in a good light.
And it is a golden statue.
It is literally a golden statue
of Trump wearing what appear to be American flag boxer shorts.
Now, Jason, if only there was like some kind of guiding text that this group would
recognize
as some kind of authority on like moral principles or something like that. And they would warn them about some, I don't know, like
worshiping
idols or golden idols or golden calves.
Yeah, I don't know. If only we had something like that. I don't. Can you express irony that hard over a podcast? I don't know. It is great. I'm glad that that person did it. I'm glad they love it. It just shows the hypocrisy there and just the complete lack of self-awareness.
Right. I mean, and we talked about this right before we started recording too. So CPAC officially started yesterday and they're hosted in some hotel. I don't know where they are.
But it's in Florida.
They're in Florida. And I mean, the reason why they're in Florida is because they have less COVID restrictions than DC, which again, if going out of your way to a state that has less COVID restrictions for safety reasons, I don't know what else sums up the Republican Party more. But Jason just played a video for us right before we started recording where the audience booed the host for asking them very nicely to wear masks.
Like they were talking to a room full of small children.
Like toddlers.
Who they were trying to get to take a nap.
And they still threw a tantrum.
And screamed freedom at them and booed them.
Well, and I loved it too because it's so good. Where they're talking about, we believe in free speech. We are Republicans. We are conservatives.
We believe in property rights.
And then also as conservatives, we believe in property rights. Therefore, when we're in someone else's house.
Female presenter that's standing on stage with me, you tell them the bad news. He also just completely threw her and like, I don't want to tell him because he knew it was going to happen.
Oh, that's so, it's so good.
Apparently the libertarians are not very interested in hearing a private business's rules of how you should behave on their property. A bunch of children.
So, but this is going to be a very Trump-centric CPAC, I guess you could say. Actually, a couple of Republican officials, Kevin McCarthy and Liz Cheney, were asked about Trump's presence at CPAC and asked if he should be invited to CPAC. Kevin McCarthy responded with a very quick, yes, he should.
The House Minority Leader.
Yep. And Liz Cheney, who got in a lot of trouble for voting to impeach Trump, got even more in trouble when she said, I've been clear about my views about President Trump and the extent to which following January 6th, I don't think he should be playing a role in the future of the party.
Also, I still don't care what Liz Cheney has to say.
No, but the fact that she is getting a lot of flack for this just shows how crazy right-wing, QAnon, Trump-esque, whatever you want to call it, the Republican Party is becoming.
The modern GOP.
Right. There is no such thing as like your typical, oh, I'm a conservative. I'm a fiscal conservative. It's the party of Lincoln. It's not that anymore. And we can see that actually with some of the great, fantastic segments that they'll be covering at the CPAC convention.
Such as?
Oh, these are great. You ready, Jason?
Let's do it.
All right. Here are some of the segments that I just picked out because I thought they were too good not to share. Shining a light on the left's 2020 shadow campaign. Same badge, different beat to protect and serve our socialist social workers. They're premiering a movie, Roe v. Wade. I'm sure that's going to be tasteful. Tea Party Patriots, surviving socialism. Fraudulent 2020 elections in South Korea and in the United States. Lessons learned and warnings for the future. And there are so many other panels about protecting elections and election fraud. There are so many panels. For comparison, there is one about the deficit this entire conference. There was one panel about the deficit and like six or seven panels about election fraud.
And they let them vote by mail.
Some other good ones. In the left's own words, quote, disrupting the nuclear family. Bam, bam, bam.
But they'll probably pronounce it nuclear.
Oh, God. My pronouns are first place and winning, protecting women's sports. More anti-trans bullshit. I'm sorry.
I'll bleep it.
Okay. Yeah. And so you've been deplatformed, probably because of your anti-trans BS. Now what?
And it's never, like, they're never deplatformed by saying, like, oh, I think the government is too big. I think we should spend less.
We need a balanced budget. You're gone.
It's
get
always
off of Facebook.
You know, I think the Jews control the banks in Hollywood. Or I really think we should take these minorities' rights away from them.
No, it's always like, why can't I slap up that trans girl over there?
She's not a real woman. Yeah, it's never like what you would consider conservative politics. It's always racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic.
Like actual hate speech.
Yeah, like literally the things that people shouldn't be allowed to say in a public forum.
And then finally, losing my religion? Why a Christian worldview is foundational to political engagement.
Is that what the golden Trump is for?
It's man, if only they had some religious, like, moral guiding principles to not see the error of their ways.
Let's all worship this graven image. And let's put up Ten Commandment statues outside
of
courthouses.
I was just
going
to say, can we put up a Ten Commandment statue next to that Trump statue?
That we worship?
Can we have another statue of Jesus hugging Donald Trump? It'd be really great.
Maybe we could put Trump before Jesus and they could meet each other.
But make Jesus smaller, you know? It's about principle here. I just, woo boy. Obviously, this is just CPAC. They do crazy stuff every single year. But, oh, man, the fact that almost half of the entire four-day conference is dedicated to election fraud just scares the crap out of me.
How we can further gerrymander and disenfranchise people to actually win an election.
Ugh, this Biden beard's getting me feisty.
Mine is gone.
So is mine. Where's our second term?
Much like Biden. I don't think there's going to be one. I'm going to try to...
Much like with Biden, you get what you get. That's it.
Like I said, I'll try to get that Bernie beer in a couple weeks. I don't know when they're going to restock. I would like to try the Kamala.
Don't make me try the Fairmaps IPA. Don't do
if
it.
If I could get some. I don't... IPA is not my favorite, but I still drink it. It's not the worst.
Jason made me gag on an IPA in front of a ton of people.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And they all laughed at me.
At our humanist conference.
Yeah.
Which one was that?
That was Fantasy Factory.
Oh, yes. Which I picked specifically because of the cat riding a unicorn
shooting guns.
Guns, yeah. Carbon 4 Brewing.
Look at all this product.
None of this
we're
is
doing.
Sponsored. Yeah, we're not getting
we
anything
so
out of
product placement
any of
today.
This. But, you know, we'll take it.
Yeah, give us money,
wink,
guys.
Wink,
give us money. We'll push your...
Give us beer.
Essentially, just give us beer.
I've literally have a tapper in my kitchen, so, you know, I'll take a quarter barrel. It doesn't have to be cans and bottles.
All right, let's go on.
That was really a productive segment, wasn't it? It's hard to get any word in with this clown.
Let's talk Andrew Cuomo.
The Democratic Donald Trump, as he's been called.
The COVID hero. The New York governor we did not want, but we deserve.
Part of the New York political dynasty. His dad, Mario Cuomo, also a governor.
And his brother is a douchebag on CNN.
Who almost died of COVID.
He did.
And actually, I will say, as much as I'm not really a fan that much of CNN's TV programming, but it was probably the biggest national like example of what it looks like for someone to have COVID pretty early on when they had those reports from Chris Cuomo and him saying that, you know, like it's really bad at night. That's when it really gets bad and kind of the struggles that he had. It did help to give a face to that and actually show that, you know, even someone who looks like he's in pretty good shape and is not what I would consider to be elderly
still suffered.
Right. Could still have some adverse effects.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
But again, that's probably the last good Cuomo thing you're getting.
So let's talk about it. Andrew Cuomo found himself in some pretty hot water recently based on some new scandals. And I say scandals with an S.
Yeah, it just came out while we were preparing to talk about the nursing home scandal. He also has now a sexual harassment scandal.
So let's start with the nursing home scandal. Jason, what happened?
So I'm going to give you a timeline of events. So we'll run down. It's going to be a little dry. I apologize. But we'll start March 25th of 2020, kind of the beginning of the COVID outbreak getting bad in New York.
Almost a year ago.
They were the first to really feel the effects. This is kind of before the rest of the country was in the shape that we're in now.
Well, we saw that a lot too, right? Where all the stories were about New York.
Yes, initially. So the New York Department of Health ordered nursing homes to admit recovering COVID-19 patients from hospitals as long as they were medically stable. The order came at a time that the state feared hospitals would be overrun with patients and could soon run out of capacity.
And this was a pretty controversial decision, right?
Yes, because the nursing homes, of course, feared that COVID would spread in their very vulnerable populations and they wouldn't be able to handle it. But they were concerned, again, as just stated, that hospitals couldn't basically house people as long as they were not in need of like intensive care. They wanted them out. They wanted them back to wherever they came from, even if it was an assisted living facility, nursing home, whatever. Controversial decision, a lot of pushback, a lot of criticism, but that's what their stated plan was. April 3rd, they also passed, and this is like the other one, the March 25th, that like ordering hospitals, you can see at least that there's some reasoning behind it. That like, okay, well, they're looking to keep capacity at hospitals. They're worried about hospitals being overrun. They're not telling the nursing homes that they have to keep these patients in like communal areas in the nursing homes. They just can't stay at the hospital. It's arguable and led to obviously a lot of unnecessary deaths, but you can at least see the reasoning for it. April 3rd, as part of the state budget, legal immunity provisions for healthcare providers, including nursing homes and hospitals relating to COVID-19 are approved. That's where you really get into the scummy politics. It's just a provision that was stuffed into the state budget that took a while for people to even find, basically giving the nursing homes and hospitals immunity from any kind of prosecution or civil liability
from COVID,
from anyone who died due to COVID. That is irresponsible and that is unjustifiable in my opinion. That is just the type of politics that I hate.
I'm sure that everyone hates
putting corporations over people. Does everyone hate that?
Yeah, you're right.
I think there's a whole conference going on now where they might disagree.
I retract that.
It's hopefully what everyone should hate, but it's what I have a real problem with and something that I don't think there's any justification for.
I agree.
April 13th, state officials released data showing the coronavirus has killed more than 2,400 elderly and disabled New Yorkers inside nursing homes and assisted living facilities. This is already when things are starting to get around about how many deaths are happening inside nursing homes in New York related to their handling and their policies that were passed in March. On May 10th, Andrew Cuomo issued an executive order requiring one negative COVID-19 test result for hospital patient discharges to nursing homes in New York, reversing that key measure in the March 25th Department of Health order. So this is probably what they should have done from the start, is that hospitals have to keep people admitted at least until they're testing negative for COVID, so that you're not literally putting positive COVID patients that are known positive
with other susceptible people
back into a very vulnerable population. And again, if you're not a frequent listener, I myself, my own father is in a assisted living facility and did test positive for COVID at one point, but luckily was symptom free and is still doing fine these days. But something that definitely strikes home for me, and I'm glad we were not living in New York at that time. Now, fast forward to July 7th, New York Department of Health issues a report asserting that its March 25th order and facility admission policies, quote, were not a significant factor in nursing home fatalities. Instead, the report contended COVID-19 infected nursing home workers and visitors unknowingly introduced the virus into many facilities. So basically trying to exonerate the policies of the Department of Health from their own report, which...
That's not shady.
Right. It wasn't our policies where we literally took
COVID patients,
positive COVID patients from hospitals and put them directly into nursing homes. It was
the
workers
ones.
And the people visiting that caused the rampant spread. So they are definitely already under fire at this point, at the end of the summer. August 3rd, New York State Health Commissioner Dr. Howard Zucker, who is the one that presented the report in July, is questioned by state legislatures over the DOH report. Legislatures repeatedly questioned why state health officials only released data that show about 6,500 virus-related deaths occurred inside New York nursing homes, omitting statistics on resident fatalities at hospitals, which means
And this is where the kind of the crux of the right. controversy comes from.
Anyone that came from one of those nursing homes
to a hospital
died in a hospital is not counted as a nursing home death.
They were counted as hospital deaths.
Correct. Even though that's where they contracted COVID and that's where they basically had deteriorating health to the point where they had to be admitted to the hospital. It's only literally if they just found you dead in the nursing home and you didn't make it to the hospital that they counted right. nursing home deaths.
Well, and this is where you get see Cuomo's defense where he'll say, well, the numbers were always the numbers. We didn't, you know, change or mislead anybody. Well, no, you did. Like, the numbers are still correct, but they are misleading based on the context that you put them in.
And you have to remember that this whole time, remember we said from literally April, not even a month after they had this policy, they're taking a lot of criticism about their policies and about how this is negatively impacting the nursing homes. So they have a huge incentive to downplay nursing home deaths. So it's not just, well, yeah, they made a bad decision about how they were counting. They made a decision that literally helped them and helped insulate them from the criticism that they were already taking. And they just happened to make that reporting mistake that would shine themselves in a more positive light and deflect a lot of the criticism.
Now, this next one, Jason. I like this next one.
So we go from August to October, October 13th. Andrew Cuomo publishes a book about his experience with the pandemic titled American Crisis: Leadership Lessons from the COVID-19 Pandemic. Definitely painted himself in a very heroic light about how he got New York through the pandemic.
Well, and let's put this in context, though. So this was obviously during Trump being Trump, right? And a lot of people looked to Andrew Cuomo as the responsible politician that Trump couldn't be, where a lot of people were looking for some kind of leader to put responsible regulations in place who could actually lead people through a crisis. And for some reason, a lot of people just looked to Andrew Cuomo for this. And similar with the, what's his name? The California governor.
Newsom, right?
Yeah, thank you, Governor Newsom. They did the same thing with him as well. And because of that, because they're comparing themselves to Trump, which is the lowest bar imaginable, a lot of these issues that were in state just kind of got swept away or just ignored based on the crazy stuff that was happening nationally.
And New York's recovery from like having the epicenter of the COVID pandemic to where they stood at this point was pretty remarkable.
Yes.
And it was because their leadership was embracing what the CDC and what the scientists and doctors were telling them, which is something to be proud of, but I feel that's kind of the bare minimum.
I do also love the fact that he was able to publish a book in less than a year that it started.
Sure.
We're still in the crisis. By the way, I got this book about how good I handled this crisis.
Yep, and that's where he took a lot of criticism. They had that weird poster that they had made too, where it was like, how we defeated the coronavirus. Like, we're still in the pandemic. You know that, right?
Nut job.
And I mean, he's taking credit for the people of New York really embracing all of the health guidelines and doing what they needed to do. And you can say, yeah, he did close bars, things like that. That, yeah, again, that's great. And you should get some credit for that. But to say that you defeated COVID is going a little far. And using that to try to push your political career. People were talking about him, you know, he should run for president.
Yep.
in 2020. Around this time, obviously it takes a little longer to launch a campaign than that. I think fortunately, because he might have done well had he actually went through with it. But
well, before this was even happening, people were talking about him running after Biden.
Mm-hmm. And I think hopefully all of these scandals that are coming up will put an end to that talk for 2024.
Can we just not have New York politicians run for president?
Anyone from New York?
No, any New York politician. You can be a crazy guy from New York, like just some like wacko.
No.
And have you run for president?
We had that in 2016, Joe. Was not good. No wackos from New York running for president, please. Of course, now he'd be a wacko from Florida, but still. Or Florida man.
At least it'll be different.
Stop it.
All right, what's next?
Same month, October 28th, the Department of Justice requests state officials provide information on private nursing homes in New York, including the number of residents who died at hospitals in other locations. This was not limited to New York. It was also targeted at New Jersey, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, all Democrat governor states, and all frequent targets of Donald Trump at this point. But there was some smoke there, and a lot of it had to do with the way New York was handling nursing home deaths. So they are under fire. And this is what they're going to use as their excuse later on. So now we fast forward to January 28th of 2021.
Starts to heat up.
So this is now the end of the lame duck portion of Trump's presidency. New York State Attorney General Letitia James issues a report that reveals state officials have been underreporting nursing home resident COVID deaths by about 50% by excluding hospital deaths. As poor infection control practices and understaffing fueled the coronavirus crisis inside the long-term care facility.
50% underreported. That's insane.
Yes, that is, again, that is to the benefit of Cuomo and his administration, because they were taking all this criticism about how they were handling nursing homes. It's definitely in their benefit to underreport those deaths.
Well, and I don't want the numbers to cast a shadow over the fact that they did find substantial evidence for poor infection control practices in these nursing homes, whether that was just people not isolating properly, the lack of employees at these places. It was just an all around mess at a lot of these nursing homes. And in fact, a lot of the poor nursing homes or nursing homes in poorer areas saw a lot of the COVID increases.
Much like you saw in the general population.
Correct. So like what Jason said, this is literally a cover up to show the absolute mess that was going on.
And within hours of that report being released, the New York State Health Commissioner, Dr. Howard Zucker, released preliminary data showing at least 3,829 nursing home residents died of COVID-19 after being transferred to a hospital or hospice. So they literally had that data ready to go. So it's not like they didn't know about it.
Well, you didn't ask. This means that the numbers in New York ballooned to over 15,000 people who died from coronavirus in New York's nursing homes and long-term care facilities.
And then moving to this month, February 10th, Cuomo's top aide, Melissa DeRosa, acknowledged pausing the release of nursing home COVID data because the governor's administration feared it could be used against us after the Department of Justice sent its request for information. So remember what we said earlier when the Department of Justice was asking for the nursing home data, they didn't get it.
I believe this was a call with like another Democrat or another Democratic hack or something.
Comments came in a private meeting with state lawmakers.
Yeah, okay.
And were reported by the New York Post.
Gotta love the New York Post.
So one of the people that was in that Zoom call was Assemblyman Ron Kim, and he was also quoted in the New York Post article that came out about this meeting. So keep that in mind moving forward.
Well, and also I want to say that Cuomo's office later did release the transcript that was published by the New York Post. And I do want to read the full quote here. Quote, "We were in a position where we weren't sure if what we were going to give to the Department of Justice or what we give to you guys and what we start saying was going to be used against us. And we weren't sure if there was going to be an investigation."
That was from Melissa DeRosa.
Yes.
So they're basically using it as an excuse of, well, Trump's Department of Justice was coming after us. We froze up. I heard that phrase.
Yes.
And we didn't know what to do. So we just didn't report the numbers that we had.
Because as we all know, two wrongs definitely make a right.
Because we didn't want them to be used against us. Well, if you didn't do anything wrong,
then nothing would be used against you.
And the next day, February 11th, the Associated Press reports more than 9,000 COVID patients were transferred into nursing homes between March and May of 2020. It's an awful lot of potentially infected people, and some were confirmed infected that were moved into nursing homes in just 2 months.
So now everything really kicks off, right?
So, yeah, so now Cuomo's under pressure from inside basically New York. On February 16th, so 10 days ago from today, 9 Democratic members of the New York State Assembly accused Governor Cuomo of federal obstruction in a letter seeking support to strip him of of his COVID-19 emergency powers. One of those nine members, the aforementioned Ron Kim. The next day, on the 17th, the FBI and the U.S. attorney in Brooklyn were probing the Cuomo administration on nursing homes. So now this has become kind of a big federal case. The following day, on the 18th,
it's been a bad week for Cuomo.
Cuomo allegedly calls Assemblyman Ron Kim of Queens and threatens him if he doesn't refute statements he made to the New York Post. Quote, Governor Cuomo called me directly on Thursday to threaten my career if I did not cover up for Melissa DeRosa and what she said. He tried to pressure me to issue a statement, and it was a very traumatizing experience. Cuomo proceeded to tell the Assemblyman that we're in this business together and we don't cross certain lines.
Screw off.
And he said, I hadn't seen his wrath and that he can destroy me, according to Kim.
So Cuomo's a bully. That's all he is.
He is Democratic Trump. This is the exact same behavior that we constantly admonish Donald Trump for exhibiting. And we don't want thugs and bullies as politicians.
Nope. Well, and even worse, so the current New York City mayor, Mayor Bill de Blasio, said that this was just classic Andrew Cuomo. In a quote he said, I think on MSNBC, yes. Okay. It's a sad thing to say, but that's just classic Andrew Cuomo. A lot of people in New York State have received those types of phone calls. The bullying is nothing new. I believe Ron Kim, and it's very, very sad. No public servant, no person who's telling the truth should be treated that way. The threats, the belittling, the demand that someone change their statement right that moment. Many, many times I've heard that, and I know a lot of other people in this state, and also I've heard that. That's disgusting. I mean, not necessarily like Bill de Blasio, but like the fact that this has been going on for so long. Screw this guy.
And that he was being presented
as like a hero.
Yeah, as this amazing politician that we should all look up to. And of course, it's all fake. So just 2 days ago, a former senior aide for Cuomo came out to say that Cuomo has sexually harassed her in the past.
What a shock.
Just to put a little bit of icing on that cake.
And she recently came out with a blog post on Medium, and we'll include that in the show notes if you guys want to read that as well. They included things like a quote from the article, his inappropriate behavior toward women was an affirmation that he liked you, that you must be doing something right. He used intimidation to silence his critics, and if you dared to speak up, you would face consequences. It also included a lot of screenshots of emails and texts. It said that Cuomo suggested they play strip poker on a flight. Boylan also said that Cuomo repeatedly called her by a former aide's name, Lisa, and said that they could be sisters, but she was the better looking one. And then finally, Boylan also accused Cuomo of stopping her and forcing her to kiss him on the lips.
Otherwise known as sexual assault.
Yeah.
Cuomo, of course, denies all of the allegations.
Also shocker.
And he has been on record as being a supporter of the Me Too movement.
Well, that's where this gets really interesting, because a group called Time's Up, which is a women's empowerment group to actually help them in these types of toxic environments, was helped out by Andrew Cuomo, I think, and they did a press conference in 2019 where Cuomo himself called out this kind of behavior. And now Time's Up is now going against Andrew Cuomo here, which is good.
As they should.
Yeah, they totally should. Everyone should turn on Andrew Cuomo. Everyone should turn on him.
If you have a story about Andrew Cuomo, now's a good time.
Well, and that's the other part that kind of scares me too, is now granted, I understand that these are just accusations and allegations. Right, these are not necessarily the objective truth.
We would like there to be a truly independent investigation into these allegations,
and we'll get into that too. But also, according to Boylan, she also heard from several other women who went through the exact same thing she did. So she's not even the only supposed victim here. But like you said, we should have an investigation, right?
His political power should be deflating right now as these allegations come up. So for anyone who has maybe been afraid to speak up in the past, now would be a good time. And that's the way these things usually work, and that's the reason why.
And at least as of yesterday, New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio called for a full independent investigation into the allegations of Andrew Cuomo.
Which is what we hope for any of these allegations that come out against anyone, is just for them to be investigated.
Yeah.
Take them seriously and investigate.
And one thing I really want to clarify with all this as well, yes, let's call out our own kind, right? Let's call out the Democrats. Let's call out liberals who are bad. Let's call out the sexual harassers, regardless of who they are.
Al Franken needed to resign.
And he did, right?
Exactly.
So good. Let's get rid of those types of people. They should not hold power.
Bill Clinton should have been impeached.
Right, exactly. But we're also seeing with this, tons of Republicans jumping at the bit to crucify Andrew Cuomo here for both the COVID cover-up and the sexual harassment allegations.
Sacrificing him to their golden idol.
Right. Now, they are technically correct, right? They're calling him out for his sexual harassment. They're calling him out for the COVID cover-ups and corruption. That's great. But what I want to make very clear here is that these same people were the ones who are fighting against taking COVID seriously and against taking sexual harassment allegations seriously. So
what's that PragerU vid about allegations of rape in colleges?
Oh, God.
Yeah, they don't have a very good record on taking sexual harassment.
So I don't want to hear any seriously. Republican or conservative and hear it from like Fox News or the New York Post about how horrible and immoral this is when the same exact people are the ones defending these types of creeps throughout history. Literally, as far as like less than a couple of months ago when they were defending Trump.
Let's kick both Andrew Cuomo and Kevin Spacey out of New York.
Oh, I thought you were going to say and Republicans. Screw Kevin Spacey, too. Let it be known that this podcast does not like Kevin Spacey. Screw Andrew Cuomo. Screw Kevin Spacey.
And anyone who sexually harasses anyone.
I was trying to think of a hot take.
What, you're going to come out with a pro Bill Cosby?
Oh, my now? God.
Joe, you monster.
Don't you dare.
Like, pudding pops were so good feel like you should just let Bill Cosby do what he wants. Can't believe you would say something like that. So before you incriminate yourself
Cut it all out.
Let's go ahead and end this episode.
Sounds good. Screw Andrew Cuomo. Good night. Thank you for listening. We hope to see you in the next episode. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter at ThinkProPod. You can email us at thinkpropod@gmail.com. And remember, when in doubt, think progressively. I had a bad Hillary Clinton day, and Hillary Clinton shouldn't have had that or ate that child. Anyway, sorry.
She did.
Oh, my God, no. Well, she shouldn't have, though. That's the problem. Bill Clinton shouldn't have asked for that blowjob. Hillary Clinton should not have eaten that child. Stances of the podcast.
Yeah, stop making creepy videos, Kevin Spacey. No one wants to see him.
Is that what he's doing right now?
Yeah. Like, do you remember that one from last Christmas?
No.
As he literally made a video as Frank Underwood in response to his allegation. It's insanity.
You're really
late to this party. But yes. And then he also made another video after that.
The moment I heard about, I was kind of done with House of Cards anyway.
I'd never even started.
I liked it.
Here's something for the outtakes, I guess. It's this conversation.
I liked House of Cards up to like the first
I always meant seasons. To watch it.
It's a worst West Wing. Have you watched West
no,
Wing?
No. I have no intention of watching West Wing.
Oh, well, if you're gonna watch any political show, watch West Wing first. And then House of Cards tried to be like a darker West Wing.
Mm-hmm.
So
it was like one of the first or the first Netflix show.
Yeah.
So I'd always intended to watch it, but then I just didn't.
And then you hear about Kevin Spacey.
Yeah, well, and then eventually, yeah, it was like, oh, ooh. Now I don't want to watch it, but so I will. I mean, at this point, I'm not watching like 8 seasons of it or whatever. Yeah. So.